Did you know that we have a newsletter?
What? No one told me that.
Right there in the show notes. We've got a free version with media and resources that go with each episode, plus our paid sponsorship coven where we share personal news and breaking scandals that we don't cover on the show.
I do love when we Zoom with the coven.
Yeah, we absolutely could not do this without them. So keep in touch, join the newsletter in the links below. Thanks.
Right on.
Welcome to Deconversion Therapy. Here, we're not therapists. Go to a trained therapist.
You need it.
We've been told. We're reading your letters and hasten you now to a therapist. But this is Karen, and
this
over
is Bonnie.
There, oh shit, she's here again.
I know. Try as you may to not send me the link.
I know.
I show up on Zoom anyway.
Thank you guys for listening. It's been just a whirlwind lately with things that we're doing behind the scenes. And then we get like a personal, nice little thank you. I've got to send another one to you, Bonnie, where someone just wrote the sweetest, like, I just want to tell you, you know, thank you for all you guys do and how it's helped me here and there. And we were never designed to help.
No helping. It was just a funny name.
And, you know. I mean, the podcast itself, it wasn't designed to do anything for you.
No, it's just for funny. It's just for shits and giggles.
Yes, and that it has is amazing, and we're so appreciative of people listening. Share it with a friend. Please review. Do this, do that. Look underneath in the details. Click them things.
Look under your seat. There's a gift. Look on Facebook. There is a gift on Facebook. It's a great group. It's a private group. And people are very supportive in there and nice to one another, unlike some Facebook areas.
Yeah, that's for sure. Go find that. Everything there is in the comment. Not the comments. You know what I mean. In the details.
No, the show notes. Are they in show notes?
Sure. That'd be it. Okay. We just learned after 5 years what ROS meant. That's everyone knows in podcasting. That's run of show. We just learned it. Well, you guys are still here. That's it. Yeah. We're just going to take it from here. So we're reading your letters that you send in. Go to our website, deconversiontherapypodcast.com, again, in the show notes. And it'll say to send us your story. Send us your true, funny story. We don't deal with big trauma or anything here. We want you to be able to relax a little bit. So can embarrass yourselves.
Yeah. Can we talk about trauma for a minute? And this
said we don't do it. Okay. Yeah.
This is lighthearted. Like, there's this woman whose podcast I listen to, and she talks about chronic pain. And I don't have chronic pain like some people do, and yet I just love her. And because of all the truths that she says in life, like, she's like, life is about what hurts or what hurts worse. And I'm like, ooh, isn't that something we should have learned at like the tender age of 8? But she talks about big T trauma and little T trauma. So trauma is real regardless of how big or little your T is. So I was in my apartment when I lived in New York, and I was terrified because I had a mouse problem. And there was, and I didn't know, like, can this mouse climb on the bed? Is the bed off limits to the mouse? You know, and I don't think
is my mouth the size of a toilet for it?
Do I sleep with my mouth open? So, and at the time I had a dog who was sweet, but deaf and blind. And so God knows how many mice just approached her like, hey, what's going on? while I wasn't watching. So she was no good. So one day, and they tended to come out at night. So, but one day they came out in the daylight. That's when I was like, fucking hell, scared out of my mind. So I jumped up on my coffee table. And at the same time, a friend of mine called, who I would never not call back. I've, And now at this moment, I'm like, did I tell you this story before? But the mouse had me so scared and traumatized. The next time I saw him was like a year later out in Los Angeles. And he goes,
not the mouse.
Not the mouse.
I just have to follow Bonnie's story. That's right. Help you out.
So the next time I saw this guy who had called me, when he called, I said, I got to call you right back. I have a mouse in the house. And so I hung up. I totally forgot that he called until a year later when I see him and he's like, you never called me back. You said you had a mouse and then you just never called me back. And I'm like, that is what trauma does. Even though it was silly and stupid and a mouse, it messes with your brain.
Yeah.
I completely forgot. If you had asked me if he had called me, I would have been like, oh my God, I'd call him back in a minute because he's one of my better friends. I don't say best friends because clearly we hadn't talked in that long of a time. Oh my God. Anyway, so trauma, whether you think it's little T or big T, it messes with you and it's real. So we respect that.
Yeah.
Or at least I do.
That, I don't. It's in your body. And yeah. If you know, there's a lot of terrible things that happen to people. And it's weird that a mouse could get the same response in your body.
Yeah.
As some other people who have had some other things that we don't even like to mention. But it's,
right.
Yeah, the body's just like fight, flight, fawn. You should have done the one people are talking about now, fawn. And yeah. Been like, mouse, you look so good. You're a good-looking mouse.
Mouse, you're so cute. Let me also tell you that my other dog, after the deaf and blind one, something had traumatized her when somebody sneezed once. Because every time I sneezed, she acted like she had to run away and hide. And I'm like, aww. I don't even have one of those scream sneezes like some people do.
Me.
She just did not like it. Anyway, so there's your trauma's real, people, and we love everybody.
And we are not therapists. We're here for like retail therapy, but we save you money because you're not buying that shit that you know is not for you and doesn't look great on you, but you saw it on the picture and I'm there. I understand that.
Karen.
This is something that always fits. Oh. Yes.
Karen. Okay.
What?
Jimmy Carr, who is a comedian from England, but I guess he's pretty popular over here too. Sure. He hosts a lot of, you know, quiz shows over in England. He posted something on Instagram the other day and he said, nothing that you can buy in the mall in 10 years will you give a shit about. It won't have any value to you in 10 years. And I kept thinking of trying to find the exception to
right,
that.
Right. So I'm this like, is how Bonnie what? Thinks. I will prove you wrong from a distance. You've never heard of me, but I shall defy you.
And I'm thinking, is he dissing like jewelry stores where people get their wedding rings? No, I'm kidding. But, you know, in theory, I just kind of liked that. I'm like, so as you're thinking, you know, as I go through thinking retail therapy, like, oh my God, if I don't have this pair of shoes, I will absolutely not be a full human being. Like, that is not true. Because Jimmy Carr said.
That's right. And, you know, my shopping desire has plummeted. Because I don't go anywhere really. I'm sort of like, eh. And if I take someone shopping like my daughters, then I'll be like, oh, I'll get this sweater. I'm like outlet bargain shopper all the way. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I absolutely agree because anything you get at the mall is also going to be replicated on other people. And there is something where that loses value in your mind, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, unless you're 14 and you see, you know, the necklace that everybody has and you're like, oh my God, I've got to have that. I've got to replicate.
And that reminds me, charm necklaces have come back. Please email me. I've got one in my thing. I will sell at an exorbitant rate to you.
I miss Adabead necklaces. I like
they're
those.
Coming back. I just saw that and I'm like, no.
Guess what?
I remember have a lot of beads. You had the Adabead. And right.
And they didn't stand for doing anything dirty on the school bus. Okay.
We didn't even know what that. Okay, let's read these letters.
All right, am I going first?
C, senorita.
Okay, so this person says it's okay to read their name, and their name is Rebecca, who I like saying like that.
Becca.
Dear Karen and Bonnie, see how your name always comes first? Aren't you happy that you've done that? That's nice. I really appreciate how this podcast has helped me laugh at my religious upbringing. Oh my gosh. See, we just said, like, we're not here to help, but what a fun byproduct.
Becca gets it.
Yeah. Initially, when this memory resurfaced, I thought I'd be too embarrassed to send it in. But after hearing others share their embarrassing stories, I've decided to sacrifice my dignity for the sake of the cause. Yes. Hopefully it helps others be able to laugh at their embarrassing memories as well. All right, this is where I have to tell you, we haven't read these letters before we start in. If you can't
tell
by
we're not good at it. Yeah. Like,
if you can't tell by the quality reading. So I can't wait to hear what she has to say. Okay. I grew up very sheltered in a conservative fundamentalist church. Oh, that's how all the good ones start. Yeah. My entire education to this point has been either at the church run school or homeschool, and I barely knew anyone outside of my church community. The summer I turned 15, my best friend and I decided we wanted to work, that's in quotes, at the church conference summer camp. Oh. I put work in quotes because we weren't actually old enough to be paid employees at the camp, but they had a counselor in training program where we actually paid the camp to work our asses off for the summer under the guise of training future camp counselors.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. At the end of the summer, at the end of the summer, they took all the camp staff on a staff fling. I honestly don't remember where we went or what we did, but what I do remember is that I ended up in the same van as the camp director / youth pastor, who I didn't really like very much. Oh, he must have been our old camp director. At some point, he said something that I would now characterize as toxic masculinity. But at that time, I didn't know that term. What I did know was that kind of attitude annoyed the shit out of me. And that day, I was apparently feeling in the mood to call him out. Oh, my God. So I said that it sounded like he wasn't very comfortable in his manhood. As he and the others in the vehicle began to react to what I had said, it became painfully obvious to me what I had said was considered incredibly inappropriate. Or was it? It was at that moment that it dawned on me that the term manhood might actually refer specifically to a person's genitals and not their general sense of masculinity, and that I had probably just insulted the camp director's junk. I don't remember what happened after that, though I'm pretty sure I tried to make myself as unnoticeable as possible for the rest of the time, and was so thankful that camp was over for the summer and I'd be going home soon. Yeah.
There's so many dick jokes and things that happen at summer camp. And when you're talking about using the wrong term, when you said we went on a staff fling, to me, staff fling is like, oh, she had a staff fling. I get it. Like, well, here we go.
Bump, chicka, wow, wow.
But I still am haunted every time I think of our multiple church camp things. I think of skit night, and I think of that one particular guy who did a long skit that was funny, but his fucking dick showed through his pants and was pointing at everyone, and all of us were so uncomfortable.
The best is that you've told me this before, and I still don't remember who it is.
I mean, it was like everyone was making eyes at each other, and we're like, this is, who's going to tell him? Anyway.
Do you think he was like just aroused by the attention?
It wasn't in an arousal state. It was just in an uncomfortable position to us and a thin fabric situation.
Yeah, let me just counter this with a friend of mine from Los Angeles who was nowhere involved in church, who would have no hesitation to jam his hands straight down his pants and fix his penis all the time.
Great.
Yeah.
And then shake your hand.
No, we knew each other.
So you were fine with it. Okay.
No shaking hands.
Okay, oh, here I go. This person is, I think, female identifying. Not going to say the name because...
Ooh, I love that. Hate that means person. Maybe it's juicier.
I don't want to say their... No, they asked for it not to be read. That's right. You can send it in anonymously. Approximately 3 years ago, I was selected for a pastor search committee. Did I just say they're female identifying? Because I am... confounded. Well, this must be one of those new secular churches.
Or Karen, perhaps it's the 2020s and you and I are going back to the 1900s.
Okay, so this one said, I had no idea that it would ultimately lead to my divorce. Okay, let's go over this, everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Listen to this. Approximately 3 years ago, we have a setting. I was selected for a pastor church committee. We have the situation I had no idea ultimately lead to my divorce. That's how you open a letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But you can open it any way you want. Our church had been through several pastors over a five-year period. No red flags there. And once again, we found ourselves searching for another. Now we get it. I, the children's ministry leader, was wondering how she would fit in, was selected to be part of the search committee. I did not grow up in this particular denomination, so being part of this committee also required a real in-depth study of the theology and doctrine. Highlights of the process included a retreat at the sketchiest Airbnb I've ever stayed in. Mirrors over and behind every bed.
Ew.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Memorization of the Book of Church Order. I don't know which this is, but who doesn't love to unwind with some BOCO, which stands for Book of Church Order, and interviews with a wide variety of some of the strangest people I've ever met. I bet. Mm. From the pastor who literally chastised a local Christian homeless shelter as, quote, the wrong kind of Christians, another who had a beer-tasting anti-Catholic podcast. Great.
That's the combo we all want.
I know. I realized that I had more doubts and questions than when I started. Let's name the beer tasting anti-Catholic podcast. It would be...
what's that thing? Genuflect?
Yeah.
Genuflect light?
There you go.
Genuflect. Natural genuflect.
I was thinking more... Crafty cat. No, oh. I don't know. I know. Instead of hops, popes. Forget it. We can't name it. One night, I brought this to my husband, who is also an elder. Upset would have been the understatement of the century. He told me he could, quote, hear the devil's voice coming from my mouth. I was accused of ripping the foundation out of our family. He immediately informed the other elders. And that's because she had her doubts and questions. You knew better, right? You knew better than to question. Multiple meetings were held in my home behind closed doors under the general theme of, quote, what do we do with her? In a long, drawn-out conversation with an elder, I was grilled about who were my friends, what did I watch on TV, what music did I listen to, who did I follow on social media, and so on. It's funny, dear person, because I have found a lot of pastors and priests that I know who they're following.
Yeah.
Funny that they don't go down that route. He ended the conversation by telling me I was destined to burn in hellfire. What kind
That's so mean.
Give us the address. They determined it would be best that I not lead the children's ministry anymore because we must protect the children.
We must indoctrinate the children.
That's
one
right.
One of us. One of us.
We must not let her be an example of asking questions. It was then suggested a special Bible study to be formed just for me to help me understand and interpret what I was struggling with. We have said this before. I had this happen to me after my wedding, which we had alcohol at.
Yeah.
That the next day, the pastor preached on alcohol. Like the, what is it called? Passive-aggressive acts of, like, pastors to suddenly be like, you know what we're going to talk today about? Reading anonymous letters on podcasts. Right. After several months of tension, awkward conversations, and cold shoulders, I asked my husband for a divorce. Wow.
Good. Bam.
Yeah. One of his biggest gripes was that he wouldn't be able to have sex again until he remarried.
That's what a child.
Good one. Good one.
What? Oh, my God.
These days, life is much lighter and happier. I fill my days with R-rated movies, Bud Light, Sam Smith's satanic music, and finally being allowed to believe in dinosaurs. Okay. Can you imagine just being like, I don't believe in them. I don't look at those bones that all go together at that museum. That is just dog bones they fashion together. Okay. My ex and I have a decent co-parenting relationship. Good. But the breakdown of our marriage was a very wild time. I understand. Thank you. And thank you for sending this in. And I understand why you were like, hey, let's not share my name. Because, listen, you are...
Your subscription to that dinosaur magazine. You know, they might put the pieces together with your name on the address label.
And thank you. This is what we mean by laughing at your trauma, because none of that sounded pleasant.
Yeah, divorce isn't funny, but like, what a great tidbit to throw in the dinosaur thing.
Yeah, and a good tidbit that like she gets it a bit. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine. Okay, so the theme is right now, men who are a bit delicate. We'll see if this... And you know what? I want to say this, because I don't talk during this whole thing, that we appreciate the men who follow us.
Yeah.
We know plenty who are gay, but the ones who are straight and are not delicate, that's all I want to say.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it's been so great to just be like, thank you for listening to us and thinking we're allowed to speak, because you were indoctrinated as much as we were. All right.
Oh, my God. That was fantastic. Okay.
Yay, divorce and just turmoil.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. I keep wondering, like, if I had stayed with church, how would I handle social media? Because I don't go on there looking at, you know, pictures of wangs or whatever you want to call them, weens.
I don't want to call them either of those, but okay.
But I tend to think, like, if I were the person who was married to somebody who was super conservative like that, you know what I would just do? I would have burner accounts.
Yeah.
I'd probably have a burner phone, and it wouldn't be to do anything but just have the freedom to watch TikTok. It's like,
yeah, that's true. 'Cause you would just feel this utter condemnation for spending time on things, too, that weren't godly.
No, I'd have a fake job that would keep me occupied a little bit extra from my real job. So, and I'd just be scrolling TikTok on a toilet somewhere. Anyway, okay, so.
Hemorrhoids. Okay.
Hemorrhoids. Okay. So this person says it is okay to use their name. So, hey, Julie, get ready. When I was an impressionable youth, a college student came to talk to my Sabbath school class. Well, that sounds formal.
I know.
Not Sunday school. Okay. And he told us an incredible story. That's in all caps. He had been dating his girlfriend for a while and thought she was, quote, the one, but he wanted to be sure. Well, let me just pause because I don't know what's coming next. But the only way to be sure is if God tells you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that's dependable. Okay. One day while playing a computer game, he prayed and said, God, if this is the woman for me, let me beat my high score on this game. Wow. I hope the woman in question is like thrilled to know that this is what he was basing. Oh my God. Okay. Shit. Well, not only did the game matter, too,
I hate to say. Was he killing, you know, shooting multiplayer where he's killing people playing with cussing 10-year-old boys?
Right.
Was it Lady Pac-Man? These things matter to the story.
Well, the rest of the story says, well, not only did he beat his high score, he won the game for the first time. He was so shocked, he ran to the other room to get his camera. This was the early 2000s, and took a picture of the screen. Oh, like Mary, God. I kept this and pondered it in my heart. Fast forward a year or two, and I was a sophomore in high school nursing a broken heart after my boyfriend, we'll call him Bartholomew. dumped me for my best friend after dating for 6 months.
Mary Magdalene.
Yeah. Okay. One day, while losing my umpteenth game of advanced Minesweeper and brooding over my lost love, I suddenly remembered the sign God had sent that guy through whatever computer game he was playing. So I prayed, God, if Bartholomew is the one for me, let me beat this game for the first time. One for me. Let me win this one. Click, 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 click. Deep breath. Click, click. Oh my God, it's happening. Game over. Not discouraged or shaken in my conviction. I prayed, actually, God, if he's the one for me, let me win this one.
This game.
Click, click. Yep. Game over. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Finally, after days of praying and playing, click, 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 deep breath, one more to go, click, I froze as my heart leaped out of my chest. Like with Gideon and the fleece and the college student with the computer game, God had given me an indisputable sign that Bartholomew was indeed the one for me. I could hardly believe it. So, like Gideon, I asked for confirmation and asked God to let me win the next game if he was the one for me. The next cycle went very much like the first, and for way too many months, I took every completed game of Advanced Minesweeper as a sign that I would indeed get back with my beloved Bartholomew. I didn't. But I do have a couple other fun stories to share later about the desperate acts of a heartbroken teenager who was convinced that God would get her back together with her ex-boyfriend. Like that cult that we covered that I can't remember
what
it's called.
Flames.
Yeah.
Oh shit. I love this because I just picture like a really pale, pallid Julie stepping outside her front door after months of being playing a game and like fainty and all that.
Oh, we my relate. Gosh.
We, the fucking mind fuck of the church telling us there is one and that you're going to find out through supernatural powers. I mean, that's how my husband and I ended up in Thailand as missionaries because we were like looking for signs. Guess what? You look for them, you're going to find them or you're going to make them.
So what were you playing? Pong?
Maybe. No, like he, at his work, there was a library and there was a book left on the table, conference table in it. And it was about Thailand. So we took that because we were like, oh my God, out of all those books, why would One About Thailand be there? And then I think, you know, you piece together, like you walk by a place and go, oh my God, is that a Thai restaurant? Yeah, never. Probably. Never would have expected it. So, Lord, I want to know if you look at where Bartholomew is now and go, thank God I did not win whatever that game was.
Let me just throw this out there where you're talking about missionary stuff. So there's an old boyfriend who I keep in touch with, and he's got children. He is not married, so don't think that I'm doing anything, you know, untoward. But the other day he volunteered that his daughter has gone on a missionary trip to Tampa. I'm like, oh.
Well, one, Tampa do need it. But two, I have a feeling she's going to learn a little more than they are.
Oh, my gosh. It's just so funny. Like, there's nothing to no one to witness to left in the Palm Beaches. We've got to go to Tampa.
I know. Anyway. And I mean, the thing is, it probably costs them way more than just a visit to Tampa.
I know.
But anywho, you know, feel special, kid. Good luck. Yeah. Okay. So here's the last one. This is by Sam. I am currently 30 years old, and I grew up in a fundamentally evangelical homeschooled household in a small town in northern Ontario, Canada.
My gosh.
Again, great setup. We have been hearing the wildest conservative stories out of, like, Ontario, and I had never thought.
Listen, if I'm a parent and I've got children in freezing fucking ass Toronto, I'm going to homeschool them because you know what? I don't want to have to get in the car and go take them anywhere.
And there's the love.
That's right. That is love.
But let's talk about your puppy.
No.
Imagine it being two children at home being puppies with you all day.
Yeah.
You would put on those jackets with the pockets you like and get those kids to school. All right. We went to a Baptist church for most of my childhood, but I had a few friends, who were Pentecostal in the local homeschool club. You mean the wild ones? Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean, Sam? Are you saying the ones that knew a little more about sex than the rest of us? Okay, here we go.
Ew.
When I was in homeschool, one of my Pentecostal friends invited me to a youth gospel night hosted by one of those young, white, overly energetic, traveling salespeople type youth pastors.
Does not narrow it down, P.S.
But they're so lucky they didn't have the guy that we did. Ours was so square. Okay. I was very excited to go as he was talking about how his church sang updated songs and had a full band for worship, including a guitar.
Yeah.
In contrast, my little Baptist church still used a projector screen and the same hymnals from the 1930s, along with an organ. When the night of the event arrived, we all traveled together to the neighboring community's high school gymnasium.
Ooh.
You knew this. This is pretty fancy. The place was packed with kids. Apparently, unbeknownst to me, Hillsong was all the rage at the time, and this was the first time I had ever heard any of their music. The music was energetic and exciting. Mm-hmm. Not to Bonnie. I don't remember much about the sermon, but at the very end, the pastor did an altar call. I felt particularly called to the front to confess my sins and hope that this pastor, with the power of the Holy Spirit, could wash away my immoral thoughts of same-sex attraction. Mm. Sam, this is going to go well. I predict that all is fine. There was a long line of kids that came to the front, and we were all arranged shoulder to shoulder. The pastor started at one end and stood in front of the other kids, put his hand on their heads, and then spoke in tongues.
Ew.
After a few seconds of speaking in tongues, the kid would fall backwards into the arms of some event staff behind them, then roll around on the floor or convulse. One by one, he did this to each kid. Man, I love floor action because some churches God just tells them to lay still. It's weird. Then he came to me. I was anxious and excited, seeing how God was working miracles for all these other kids. I was ready for my own miracles and healing. In the same manner, the pastor laid his hands on my forehead and started speaking in tongues. Then all of a sudden, I feel him pushing me backwards. I don't feel like falling over, I thought to myself. But he kept pushing on my head harder and harder. Then he started yelling at me, "Let the Holy Spirit take over. Don't resist his power." Oh, been there, kid. I fought against him, but then I suddenly felt the people behind me put their hands on my shoulder and pull me to the ground. Yeah. I remember laying on the ground thinking these two things. One, what the fuck just happened? And two, how long do I need to lay on this ground before I sit up or go sit back down? That is the night I started to question everything I knew before and everyone I used to trust. I'm now a proud bisexual atheist and couldn't be happier. We are very happy for you. Thank you for all you guys do and the many hours of laughter and entertainment. Thank you, Sam.
That's
thank you.
Awesome.
I
knew you know, it. They pushed and they pulled.
They pushed and pulled, which is not the kind of action Sam was looking for at that time. And, you know, I really now that triggered in my body trauma. No, it wasn't trauma, although I wanted to be slain in the spirit so badly. I felt like God couldn't get through to me because, you know, whenever I was prayed, I did feel that pressure on my head. And when he said they pulled him back, I do like now have a slight memory of like the people behind you where they're going to catch you. They put their hands on your shoulder. And I'm not sure if I remember, like, you know, they do it in a way that's like, let's go, come on, you can do it.
They put your hand, they put their hands on your shoulder and then they like kick you at the bendy part of your knee and like,
That's what they do.
Remember when that was a thing to like do to your friends if they're standing there on one knee and just buckle them? Like, that's just
the meanest, shittiest thing we had.
But they're probably buckling knees all over the place.
That's it.
But they've it's okay because we'll catch you.
Wow. Thank you so much. Again, another bit of like crazy letters.
And guess what? Even if they aren't real, it's okay to believe in dinosaurs. You be you.
I know. I know. We're proud of you. And, you know, maybe you can call instead of your ex-husband, your Rex-husband. Get it? And then he'll be so.
Thank you. Thank you. She will be here all week.
The devil done got him.
All right, send more. This was great.
It really was.
And
we love
you
guys.
Thank you for sharing.
Let's laugh at each other. Please go to Real Therapists. Adios.
Bye.
That was pretty clean.